Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
It's 4-H Member Spotlight today on the Voices of Montana Talk Show. Of course, the 4-H Spotlight is sponsored by Montana State Fund. And today we'll be traveling across the state to speak with young leaders about the role that 4-H has played in their lives. We're going to go to Sydney and talk with Kayla Hansen about her passion for learning and teaching. In Hill County, Landon Molitor will tell us about how he supports others in the face of adversity. And in Butte, Joe Cantwell will cover his teen leadership project and his vast involvement in 4-H. A lot to cover here today on the Voices of Montana Talk Show. Coulter Brown and Andy Schwab here coming over from the Northern Ag Network to cover for Tom Schultz as he gets a few days off. Andy, how you doing this morning?
Oh, lovely days here. I tell you, these beautiful weather. Really appreciate this moisture coming down, and for some guys, they're saying, no, we need to get this hay put up first, but certainly always good to see that.
Yep, and I think we're going to get a little more moisture next week, so that's exciting to see coming. You know, do you think with us covering for Tom, is he going to cover the livestock report for us when he gets back?
It's just fair. It's only fair. I mean, we do for him, he does for us, and it's like a pendulum. It just keeps swinging back and forth, and we're going to get it, and that's going to be interesting. I'm waiting for that report.
Yes, you'll have to teach Tom a little about what way up cows are bringing here. Well, we certainly do have a lot to cover today, so I want to get to our first guest this morning, which is Terry Antley. She's going to be helping us kick things off. Terry is the director of the Montana 4-H Center for Youth Development. Terry, thanks for taking the time with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first, Terry, I may have you tell a little about your role with Montana 4-H, what the center is, and this is a relatively new position for you, right?
It is. It is. I started full-time in April of 2024, so just a couple of months ago, and I really enjoyed it so far. The role itself as the director provides direction and leadership for Montana 4-H program as a whole, and that includes resources and support for specialists, agents, and volunteers who serve the youth and families across the state.
Now, you've dedicated your career to helping youth succeed. Where do you see the biggest impact in the lives of our 4-H youth?
I think the youth have so many opportunities to grow and to learn and to connect with others. There's so many volunteers across the state that make the program possible in being able to help these youth succeed. And so investing in these youth just leads to a ripple effect of them serving one another and the communities across the state, as well as nationally and internationally.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Terry. Are you yourself an alumnus of 4-H?
I did participate in 4-H for a little while. It wasn't a lengthy time, but I've been in extension for much longer, and I've just seen the vast array of opportunities available and the difference that it can make. It's just a powerful program.
Well, I totally agree.
Yeah, Terry, Andy here, of course. We'll talk about ways that you're going to be motivating and supporting these 4-H members. I mean, is there certain platforms that you're going to be able to utilize to get these 4-H members involved in maybe not so non-traditional ways, I guess?
Sure. We have a big event, 4-H Congress, coming up, so that's an opportunity that youth will be coming to connect with others. But there are also opportunities with non-traditional programs, such as in-school or after-school programs, different opportunities to expose them to what 4-H is all about. And that's, you know, just the opportunity for them to find things that they love and are passionate about, that they can connect with others who are of like mind, and then have that guidance of the knowledgeable and caring adults in the system, whether that's an agent, a volunteer, a teacher in the school who is also connecting to this program. So there's a lot to take hold of.
You bet. Well, Terry is coming to us from Bozeman this morning, but without further ado, we're going to head to Butte next and talk with Silver Bow County 4-H member Joe Cantwell. Joe is 14 years old and involved in a plethora of 4-H projects. Joe, thanks for being here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, to start us off, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, Joel. What projects are you involved with in 4-H? What are your favorite ones?
I'd have to say probably some of my favorite projects would have to be swine and archery. But I do a bunch of projects. I do shotgun, photography, team leadership. You pretty much name it, I do it.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, Andy, that's a different kind of shotgun than you're probably used to.
I was just wondering. I was like, I think his age says 14.
Well, Joe, I suppose you're probably one of the older members in the club now. What's it like to have those younger members looking up to you? Do you enjoy helping them?
Yeah, I enjoy helping them. It feels good to me to be a role member for them and help them grow up to be the best they can be.
Joe, I noticed here that you helped organize an adult round robin last year at the Butte Silver Bow County Fair. And give us just kind of that experience. How did that go for you to help organize a round robin there in your home county?
It was fun. I liked doing it. It was just fun seeing all the parents try and show the pigs and all the other animals. It was just a fun time just going around and watching people turn on each other and donate money to put their family in.
Well, of course, Joe, we probably have some listeners that maybe have never heard of a round robin. Give us just a background of what that round robin all includes.
So it's just we show all the animals and the judges will ask questions about the animals and you give the best information you can and they'll judge you on how good you're showing them and how good your answers are. Yeah, that's pretty much all I know about it.
Sure.
Well, of course, we have Terry Antley on the phone with us as well. Terry, have you had the pleasure of meeting Joe yet?
I have not, Joe, but Joe seems like a great guy. And so I wanted to ask you just a question or two. How do you use the skills you learned in 4-H to help you in other areas of your life, Joe?
I pretty much just, with all my leadership, I try and help kids the best I can if I already know that information. And go at it every problem by year, and I just tackle it like it's another 4-H project I have to complete.
Awesome. What have you learned about leadership in 4-H?
I learned it's a lot of fun, and you get to meet cool kids, and you get to help people become the best they can and become the best you can.
Excellent.
Joe, tell us a little about the Teen Leadership Project I see here. What does that entail for you?
Right now for me, it's just a 4-H camp. I'm a leader in that and archery, and that's just a lot of fun. I just sit there and help the kids out with any questions they have or anything they need help with. And I just like doing it because it gives me time to be there for other people.
So tell us a little bit about, I mean, I think of you as a leader helping the younger members. Tell us about what it's like to help these younger members get involved with something like archery, because that takes a lot of practice and technical skill. What's it like to take these new members and get them working with the bow for the first time?
It takes a little bit of time, but I like just seeing the kids smile when they hit the target or do something they like, and that just makes it all worth it for me. Sometimes it's a little hard because they get built in with a certain way of doing it, and we try fixing it so they could become the best they can.
You know, Joe, I come from a small town out of northern Wyoming, and it was just what you did when you were growing up. You were in 4-H. You were in FFA. You just kind of had that. But being in one of the bigger towns of Montana, being coming from Butte, how has it been for getting your peers involved in 4-H and other events such as agriculture-related events for 4-H anyways?
It's kind of weird just because most of my peers, they don't really know about it, but anytime they say they don't know about it, I try and teach them as much as I can. So hopefully we can have a new member or something or a new supporter.
Well, certainly. And Joe, yourself, what inspired you to join 4-H? Why did you decide to be in this? I mean, obviously not all your friends are doing it, so why is it important to you?
I just kind of saw a bunch of kids that I wanted to be like being there, and so I got in, and I realized how much fun it was, and it can help me become the best I can and help my community out, so I kept with it.
Well, you talk about helping your community, and I think that's maybe something that often goes overlooked from the public, the community service aspects of 4-H. What sort of activities are you and your club involved in that are serving the community in Silver Bow County?
We do a bunch of barbecues and whatnot, and we try and give back to the community as much as we can. Just a little bit ago, we took up sweets and desserts up to the first responders and all the police departments and ambulances and whatnot. So that's kind of what we do for our reaching out to the community, but I wish we could do more.
Well, certainly. And of course, that's a mission of 4-H, Hands for Larger Service. It's in the motto that we say at every meeting. What advice do you give to the new 4-H members? It could be younger ones, could be ones that join a little bit later in their youth. Well, what advice do you give them about, you know, getting involved in 4-H and trying to maybe step up and take on a leadership role like you've done?
I would say just have fun and just give it your all, and sooner or later it'll all start coming together.
Oh, certainly. Well, Terry, I don't want to leave you out here. Anything else that you want to ask Joe or you want to be able to convey to the public?
Sure. Joe, how has 4-H prepared you for what you would like to do in the future?
It gives me a lot of connections to people that I can talk to later for a potential career in rodeo and whatnot. And it just gives me a better way to look at life and all my problems.
Awesome.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you joining us today. We've got a break coming up here, so we're going to have to let you go and bounce to another corner of the state. But I guess I'd ask for your parting thoughts. You know, where do you think 4-H is going to take you in the future? I suppose you're about to start high school here in the fall, I suppose.
Yeah, I started high school this last fall, and I think it's going to take me a lot of places with just the knowledge it's given me and the confidence it's given me. So, yeah.
Well,
it gives me a lot of confidence for whatnot.
I think so. And it seems like it's given you maybe a passion for teaching and helping others. And boy, that's about all we can ask of 4-H. Well, Joe, I appreciate you taking the time with us. And Terry as well, thank you for joining us this morning. Colter Brown and Andy Schwab here, filling in for Tom Schultz on this Friday morning. Today, of course, is our latest update in the Montana 4-H Member Spotlight, sponsored by Montana State Fund. This has been really fun over the last year to highlight 4-H members from across the state. You know, I wish we could come back in 10 or 15 years and see where these kids have ended up. You know, 4-H plays a huge role in the lives of our young people across Montana, and I guarantee they will be giving it back. Andy, for our next 4-H member, we're headed to the High Line, right?
Headed to the High Line, Hill County. We say thank you and welcome to Landon Malter out of Havre, Montana, and also Hill County Extension Agent of Family and Consumer Science, Katie Perkett, that is, and we appreciate you guys being on. How are things up on the High Line this morning, you guys?
Oh, they're going pretty good. Weather's nice.
Crops looking pretty good, Katie?
Yeah, things are looking great around here. We've had lots of good moisture.
Well, that's good to hear. I love hearing that. And, of course, as mentioned, 4-H member spotlight. We are recognizing some of the active members across the Treasure State, one of those being Landon Malter, an active member there in the Hill County community through 4-H and FFA both. Landon, give us how do you split those two between 4-H and FFA? Because it seemed like for me when I was growing up, I went FFA completely when I got to high school, but it sounds like you're going to stay involved in both the 4-H and FFA?
Yeah. I mean, being one of the first-year chapters for Havre here for FFA, it wasn't all moving super fast, so we were just getting developed and whatnot, so it was pretty easy to juggle both programs and stay in touch with both of them.
Talk about that transition for you guys as youth coming in and getting an FFA chapter. I know we're talking about 4-H Spotlight here, but do want to recognize that FFA and 4-H kind of coincide alongside each other, it seems like, but give us just kind of how that transition process went for FFA.
Well, for FFA, for these first couple years, we weren't quite involved with the fair yet, and whatnot. They were trying to get that set up. But so for FFA, for me, it was mostly just going to competitions and whatnot, where 4-H were my projects and fair activities and stuff like that. So
absolutely, absolutely. Well, Katie, give us just kind of an update as well. I mean, I'm sure you guys are starting to – summer's here already, so you guys are probably starting to get ready for the summertime events to kick off and county fair around the corner?
Yep, we're in high gear right now getting ready for the fair. We've got a lot of workshops going on to help get the kids ready, both with their animals and their indoor projects. And, yeah, just full force getting ready for fair. We start fair setup days on July 14th, so it's only about a month away.
Landon Coulter Brown here. I want to talk a little about the projects that you are involved in within 4-H. I'm sure it's quite a bit. Tell us a little about some of the things that you're working on.
This year I'm just taking a market steer to the fair, and that's going pretty well. A lot, I'd say, weight-wise, the steers are doing a lot better than they have past years.
I suppose so. The weather certainly helps a lot within that. Katie, let me have you brag on Landon for a little bit. I'm sure you know him pretty well, working with him over the years. Why is he a good member for us to spotlight here across the state?
Landon has taken a lot of different 4-H projects over the year, over the course of his 4-H history. So he did swine, woodworking, shooting sports, and, of course, the beef project. Landon is a really calm and cool kid. He's got an even-keel demeanor. He's super easy to talk to. He involves the younger members just by leading by example. He takes a lot of initiative. He's one of the first people that shows up for things and one of the last people to leave. So he really does exemplify the 4-H's of 4-H.
Well, that sounds like he's a good one for us to spotlight then. And Landon, I don't want to get too personal here on the radio, but do tell us a little about your story and how 4-H has helped you through some difficult times.
Well, back in a couple years ago, my dad passed away and whatnot. So through all that time, 4-H has been here alongside me and my family, you know, just being there for us and helping us get stuff done and whatnot, and just supporting us through what, you know, any family would go through with something like that.
Well, I appreciate you sharing. I'm sorry. That's a very unbelievably difficult thing to go through. But does that experience of working through that and using 4-H, are you able to use that to help other members through whatever challenges they may be facing?
I feel in some ways, yes. You know, having gone through that, I know what some people may feel sometimes and how to bestly deal with how I felt, how people help me. I can help people in that way because I have an idea of, you know, what helped best in situations like that.
Well, Landon, give us just kind of a little bit of looking ahead now. Let's talk about some of the future plans. 17, so did you just graduate, or are you graduating this next spring?
I just graduated, and I do plan on attending Northern for a diesel program, and then I'm going to stay out on the family ranch and keep that going.
Outstanding. Well, what kind of operation is that then for you guys?
We've got about 160 head of cattle out there south of the Bear, or out in the Bear Paws, South Haber.
Keeps you pretty busy probably then, huh?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Absolutely. Well, talk about some of those ways that you're able to mentor to some of those younger generations as well. You know, I kind of talked a little bit about it with Terry and Tilly last break that we had, but it seems like for me, we're always trying to innovate and come up with ways to reach the next generation of youth. What are some of the ways that you're able to reach out and kind of, is it lead by example, or is it advocating through other forms of platforms anyways?
Yeah, a lot of times it's just some of the simple things, like at fair, if you see, you know, some of the younger members struggling with, say, an animal or something, just giving them a pointer on here or there about what they could do better, or what, just staying calm sometimes is the biggest thing.
Is there a particular memory in your mind that you had to step up and kind of be one of those leaders helping a young kid out?
I don't know if there's a exact particular one. Sure. I know there's been a few. I know over the years we all kind of meet up out at a friend's house and we all help clip the steers for the show and whatnot.
Well, Katie, let me dovetail off Andy's question a little bit there. You know, I think of this group of kids that are going through 4-H right now. They've been through things that none of us ever did. I think of, you know, the pandemic and all the crazy things with COVID and the role that social media plays in our lives now. It's just different for kids today. What challenges do 4-H'ers face, and how do you feel they're overcoming them, I guess?
I think in general, the pandemic definitely set people back as far as their ability to communicate face-to-face. And 4-H really shines in that aspect because we are doing so many things that are hands-on. It gives the kids an opportunity to gather in meeting spaces, in workshops, and interact one-on-one with their peer members, with their club leaders, and their animals, of course. And it definitely, you know, just reminds people, I guess, that you can communicate in person and that engaging with people can bring you a lot more joy than staring at a screen.
Well, I think that's so true and so important. And 4-H has always done that, but maybe that's more important now than it ever has been. Landon, I may ask you a little bit about, you know, your leadership experience within 4-H. I imagine you've probably been an officer in the club the last few years. Well, what role has that played in preparing you for your future endeavors?
The last couple of years I've been just the vice president here in the club. And, you know, it allows me to step up a little bit and kind of put my word in on what I think about some activities. And I just feel like that's a big help for any leadership activities anywhere, especially out on the ranch, you know, having to have more than one person's input on some situations is pretty important sometimes.
Katie, as we wrap up the final minute before our next break, I just want to talk, you know, summer events, as you mentioned. You got a fair not too far around the corner, but how about the involvement with like 4-H Congress and other upcoming events? How involved do people from the Highline get involved with those?
Well, we just got out of 4-H camp, and we typically have anywhere from 6 to 17 members join us at the 4-H camp. Congress is still a little bit lighter because this is only the second year that Congress hasn't overlapped the Hill County Fair. So we do have about 4 or 5 people interested in registering for Congress, taking some projects, and we're definitely trying to get more people involved in going to Congress and partaking in the things that happen there. We do have an officer in the Montana 4-H that is going to be present at the Congress, and she's going to help also kind of lead things up.
Outstanding.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. Katie, Landon, we so appreciate your time and what you've given to 4-H.
Thank you.
It's the Voices of Montana talk show. Coulter Brown and Andy Schwab filling in for Tom Schultz today. And it's our 4-H member spotlight that's sponsored by the Montana State Fund. Now, Andy, you're a past 4-H member, right?
Yep. It was a short term of 4-H for me. I really got involved more so in FFA through the years. But 4-H certainly helped build that foundation as you grow as a youth and kind of get into these fair projects. And it was so fun being able to raise pigs and kind of get that work ethic developed, you know, coming from a horse background and then the pig background and just getting involved with the other 4-H projects as well over the years. It was always just something that helps build a foundation that you carry on with you throughout the rest of your life, I would say.
Well, I think it's fair to say as two radio guys sitting here, we would not be in the jobs we are today were it not for 4-H.
Exactly right. I can't give enough praise to 4-H and it's just amazing too, and when you go to these 4-H camps or when you go to FFA and you see how these young folks just are able to talk so fluently and just so eloquently, it's just awesome to see how well that they're shaping the next generation of agriculture.
Well, that's well said, Andy, and it certainly is fun to get to talk to some of these kids and their leaders and parents who are part of it with them. Next up, we're going to be heading to the Sunrise City of Sydney, Montana, to talk with Richland County 4-H member Kayla Hansen and her mom, Kim. Ladies, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Now, let's just dive right into it here, Kayla. It looks to me, as I look at some of your involvement in 4-H, it looks to me like as the projects you take, you're taking about every critter that you can to the fair here. Which one is your favorite? Tell folks a little about what projects you're involved in.
Well, I guess out of all my projects, my I can't really choose a favorite, but the one that I like to spend the most time with is my, either showing dog or my goats. But the projects that I'm involved in just involve chicken, goat, lamb. I started horse this year, dog, and then I think that's about it.
That's about it. Yeah. That's, like I say, most every critter there is. Well, and so that must keep you pretty busy through the summer here. I know the fair's coming up. When is the fair in Richland County? Remind our listeners.
It's within the first week of August.
Okay, so you've got a little bit of time here, but I suppose you are pretty busy with those projects, taking care of all those animals.
Yeah.
Well, that is great to hear. And, of course, you're 17 years old, going into your senior year there. So, obviously, one of the older members in the club. Talk a little about what you do to help the younger members and get them involved in 4-H and see all that it has to offer.
Well, with the younger members, I like to encourage them to participate in as much as they can. And I like to help them with learning experiences. For instance, like when we have chicken meetings or something, I will go out of my way and help a younger member to learn about how to show their animal what they need to know. And during 4-H meetings, I like to encourage them to speak up and say what they feel would be right to help with the community or even the group.
Well, I know we got your mom, Kimberly, on the phone with us, too. Kimberly, let's have a real talk. How often do you have to take care of Kayla's projects? How often do you have to feed the goats?
She does her goats pretty good. She does all of her animals pretty good. I do go out and help with the horses once in a while because there's so many of them.
Certainly. Well, I wanted to ask you, Kimberly, also, or Kim, I'll call you Kim if that's all right by you. Talk about just being a parent of a 4-H member. Talk about what it takes. You know, maybe there are some parents out there that have some youth coming up that are thinking about getting them involved, but what's the involvement at the parent level?
The involvement at the parent level is just encouraging your kids to show their animals and teaching them how to take care of their animals and be responsible for everything. As for a parent, you help the kids, but the most enjoyment is watching them show and watching them raise their animal from when it was a baby.
Absolutely. Were you a 4-H'er as well then yourself?
I was not a 4-H'er.
No. Okay. Well, what was your background growing up then, if you don't mind me asking?
I rode horses a lot. And other than that, I went to school and did sports.
And so that probably plays a little bit on to helping raise horses for Kayla as well then?
Yes.
Well, so Kayla, your mom wasn't a 4-H member. How did you get involved in 4-H? Did you tell your mom, we're going to do this? Is it something you just tried out? How did it all start for you?
Well, when I was in elementary school, I had some friends that did 4-H, and they told me, they're like, well, if you like doing all this stuff, you should really try 4-H. It's kind of right along your alley. You could do a lot there and raise animals and have a lot of fun. So I just brought it up to mom, and I was like, we should try it. You know, it's something to do and something fun to do. We can raise animals and just try something out, help the community and all that.
And what did you think of that, Kim? We were like, yeah, let's take on another project.
Well, it started out little. It was just chickens and lamb. And then as the years have grown, they've wanted to experience other things. So it's turned into a little hobby farm now. And I like them doing all of them because once they do get out into the real world, that gives them the choice if they want to proceed in it or if they choose not to run a farm and just live a city life.
Yep, there's a lot of great experiences regardless of which direction you go. But Kayla, let me ask, what is the most fun aspect of 4-H? As you're trying to recruit other 4-H members, what are you really selling?
Well, so I think there's a few fun parts that I really enjoy. Just for instance, the animal aspect, you really get to have fun raising an animal from just being a little baby and you grow a bond with them. Like I've had animals where they'll play tag with you or all they want to do is snuggle you. That's really fun. And then the other part is like, if you didn't want to show an animal, there's other things you can do. You can have indoor projects or just not even, you can do an indoor project and not have to show an animal. It's all really fun. And like, you can do very fun projects. Like there's arts and crafts, and like everyone in your group is so happy and nice to you. Like, they'll help you with everything. And sometimes we do fun games at our meetings. So I think that's what my favorite part is. We get to do fun games and encourage everyone to participate, and no one's left out.
You bet. And nearly it's all fun. Well, that's great. Well, let me ask you on the things that aren't exactly fun, as you look back over your career in 4-H here, I know you're probably on your last year of it. What has been the biggest challenge that you've been through in 4-H, and how did you overcome it?
Well, I guess my biggest challenges can get stressful, especially when you take up a lot. When you're in a lot of projects, you get pretty stressed out, and you just got to figure out time management. And as like a person who shows animals in the market class, it gets a little tough when you have to sell the animal that you've raised since it was little. And I remember my first year, I really did not want to sell my first market goat ever. And I actually ended up getting premium and I got him back. So he got to live out the rest of his days on the farm. But yeah, the toughest part is just having, even the 4-H year being over and having to start new, is just having to say goodbye to the animals that you raised and then having to start all over again. It can get stressful, but it's really fun once you get back into the hang of it.
You bet. I think that's the story for a lot of us as young 4-H members. Selling that first animal is pretty hard. Not everyone gets it back, though, so you kind of got the best of both worlds there.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask on your future career plans. What do you plan to do post high school, and how do you think 4-H has helped prepare you for what's next down the road?
Well, I'm kind of looking into being a game warden for Montana after high school, going into college and following into the footsteps of that. Just because it helps me still work with the wildlife and participate with the community and everything. And I think 4-H has helped me improve with being able to be more social. I used to not really like to hang out with people or even just be in community settings. And with 4-H, I can't get enough of it. I really like being around people and talking with them and teaching people new things. And that's what a game warden kind of does, is help people. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And if that doesn't follow through, I figured I'd follow something helping out with 4-H and being ag related, just helping kids learn and all that.
Well, kind of, Kayla, Andy here. It kind of sounds like you're telling my life story, actually, because I too was involved in 4-H projects with horses and pigs growing up, and then going to college. I wanted to be a game warden, and well, I had to write my first ticket to one of my friends, and I started losing friends pretty quickly. I didn't know if I wanted to do that anymore. And then I got a job in radio. So I don't know. It sounds like you might be able to maybe host Voices of Montana at one point in your life. How's that sound for you?
I don't know. It might be fun.
If Andy can do it, literally anybody can do it.
Literally anybody.
Well, Kayla, you mentioned, being part of the community, and I think that's a very important part of 4-H. What does that entail in Richland County as you're giving back to the community or being just a part of the different activities that are there?
I think just giving back and being part of the community. I'm in the junior leaders group within Richland County 4-H, and we recently raised enough food donations to help give to the women's clinic here and give out to families in need, and it was really fun. I actually really enjoyed it. I gotta say, raised about 115 or so meal packets that we created. So we did like spaghetti or chicken Alfredo. And we just made a big meal packet for about a 4-person family. And it made me really happy that we were able to get that many donations and help that many families within our community. And I think that's just the big thing, is helping people in the community and even helping those that need more help learning and understanding.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to be able to give back and just do stuff for your own community. Thank you for sharing that. Kim, let me pull you back into this conversation. You know, what would you say to other parents who might have been like you, who weren't in 4-H, but their kids are maybe thinking about it? You've seen what it's done for your kids. What's the message for those other parents?
I would totally encourage other parents to get their kids into 4-H. It's not just for the animals or for the money. It's the social life and the compassion. You learn a lot of passion on what you want to do and who you want to become.
Well, I think you've highlighted it well. And in a lot of ways, I think one of the most basic things that 4-H does is it makes parents work with their kids. You have to get out there and, like you say, take care of the horses, fundraise, whatever it is. And that's such a valuable experience to be able to work side by side with your own kids.
It is. And it gives you more of a bond with your kids. So when they get older, you're not separate. You're still bonded in one way.
Kim, I'll let you brag on Kayla one more time. What have you been excited that you've seen her grow through 4-H?
Her social skills and her way to teach other people on how to help animals and help themselves in doing better. And her reaching out to the community has been terrific. She's always in town doing something.
Well, I can tell that. Kayla, Kim, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Kayla, if you think a career in radio is in your future, you just give us a call here.
All righty.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us here this morning, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Andy Schwab and Coulter Brown here, guest hosting for Tom Schultz. Andy, I'm not sure he's going to let us back on the air necessarily. We'll see what he ends up doing.
Actually, I think it's the other way around. I'm not sure we're going to let him back on the air.
There
actually,
you go.
He's going to now be the Northern Ag Network.
Best of luck, Tom. See how that goes for him. Of course, Tom is going to be out Monday morning as well, so Gabe Erickson is going to be guest hosting, so that'll be fun to hear what Gabe's got going on. Andy? What do you have going on? I know it's summertime, so you're always seems like you're going to an auction every weekend, and you actually do a number of these 4-H auctions, livestock
yeah.
auctions.
Yeah, coming up this weekend, helping with a horse sale in Powell, Wyoming. But yeah, you're right. Later this year, early August, I guess, first Friday of August, help out with the Wheatland County Fair, do their auction for them for their junior livestock sale, and others ones around northern Wyoming as well. So it's really fun just to get out and see these kids coming out and you know, showing off their projects that they raised over the years and how well they can put together an animal and make it a quality market animal.
Well, that is very true. That is one of the fun things we get to do through the summer is just interact with these 4-H kids, whether it's at an auction like that, going to a lot of county fairs across the region and just getting to see what these kids are up to. And boy, a lot of them are like the three that we talked to today, well-spoken, and you can be excited about the future direction of Montana and the ag industry.
Absolutely. What about you? Father's Day weekend this weekend. You got any Father's Day plans?
It is Father's Day weekend. We are headed to a wedding. My friends Ben Reed and McKay Knack are getting married, so we'll be in Fort Benton this weekend. But yes, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Thank you for what you do. Maybe that's a little pat on the back for myself.
Yeah, exactly. Self-serving. I don't want to talk about me.
You bet. Well, thank you for joining us for the Voices of Montana Talk Show. For Andy Schwab, I'm Coulter Brown. Have a good one.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.